I'd like to take a moment to explain how this came about, that we're having this kind of hybrid mass. It's for us who are here in person, Wednesday of the third week of Lent, and we have the readings for the Wednesday of the third week of Lent. But we're also honoring the memory of the mother of Lulu, Ines Cristobal, and those who know her are all, if they're joining us, they're joining us online. Is there anyone here who knows her? So it's an interesting combination. What happened was, Lola Ines died on Saturday morning. Many of us were here when we got the news, remember? We were getting ready for the Lenten recollection with Bishop Milo, and then we got the news that Lulu's mother had died in the early morning of Saturday. You know Lulu. Lulu, a member of our community. The other Lulu is also here. We have two Lulus. Not Lulu B. We're talking about Lulu T. Lulu Tomaneng. One of our lectors also. What is her day of reading? Friday. Okay, so if you come here on Fridays, you know Lulu. One of our associates and one of our lectors. Anyway, so her mother died on Saturday in Isabella. On Friday, Lulu and her sister were here. Was it Friday? Yeah, so, and we asked, you know, because the family had asked for prayers for their mother many times. She's been getting weak. And so the two sisters were here for Mass on Friday, and then we asked about the mother, and they said, well, she seems to be doing okay. She opened her eyes. And then the next morning, in fact, within less than 24 hours, she had already passed away, which must be a very difficult for those who weren't there, because they were here in Manila when their mother died in Isabella. Isabella's a long way off. So because it's a long way off and because the wake is far from Manila, we can't go there. It would be too, I've never been to Isabella, but I'd love to go there someday. I'm told that it's actually closer to Hong Kong than to Manila. Is that true? Yeah, it's far, far to the north. But that's where the wake is taking place, as it should, and the family's there. So since we couldn't, none of us who know Lulu could go there and pay our respects, we said to her and to the family, well, we would like to offer a Mass for your mother at a time that's convenient for you. And then the family said, well, why don't you do it on Wednesday? We'll be at the wake. And the family said, we'll be at the wake, and then we can have this Mass in her honor. So that's what we're doing. Praying, yes, we're honoring the memory and giving thanks to God for the life of Ines, but also offering our condolences to the family. Lola Ines was 97, actually almost 98. In a few weeks, she'll be 98 years old. So it's a good long life. Lulu's one of six children, and there are also 13 grandchildren and 7 great-grandchildren. Maybe some of them are joining us. Our condolences to all of you. So you see the picture of Ines there in front of the altar. In her long life, she, of course, the highlight of someone's life, but they have 6 children and 13 grandchildren and 7 great-grandchildren. That's already a lot to say about a person. But I learned that in her golden years, she became a professor at Isabella State University in the founding of the university. Maybe she's one of the first. I get the impression that because the state university just started in 78, and she was teaching there until she retired. I don't know what subject. Okay, so we're honoring her memory, but even more than that, we're praying for her eternal life. Remember, this life where we have our birthdays here, she would have had her 98th birthday in a few weeks, that's only a preparation for eternal life, and the birthday that we're recognizing here is birth into the next life. Death is a kind of birthday. In fact, more important than maybe a 97th birthday or 98th birthday, the birth into eternal life is very important. So we pray for that gift for Lola Ines. It happens that she's not the only mother that a member of our community has lost recently. You know, it seems like we've had a lot of losses this year. In fact, in these past 2 months, just last week, it was the mother of Mila. That was Rosita. She died at age 104, and her remains were here until just yesterday, and a picture of her was here. So two mothers in the space of a few days. And then just 2 months ago, or less than 2 months ago, the mother of Eva passed away. She was 94, Natividad. And then the day after that, the mother of Edna died. That was Remedios. She died at 92, almost 93 years old. So that's four mothers in the space of 2 months. And then, of course, Leah's father died last month. He was 82. So that's five parents of four of our lectors passed away. So, and then people's other relatives died. Your brother died. Your brother died. Talking about Yola and Evelinda, they both lost brothers. And who else? I just tried to make a list of these. Another one of our lectors, Carolina, her sister died also in January. So, and this maybe doesn't, the Cristobal family doesn't know any of these people, but still, it's an indication of God calling people home, which gives us an understanding of what this life is for. We're not going to be here forever. And we shouldn't even want to be here forever. We should want to be with God forever. And that's what we're reflecting on. Now, this Lenten season is also a journey toward eternal life. Lent isn't for its own sake. We don't take on penance because we hate ourselves or because we want to punish ourselves. We do it because we're on a journey, a pilgrimage to Easter, which is a pilgrimage to eternal life, life after death. And every day of Lent, we have a special instruction taken from the scriptures. Today's instruction is about the law. The first reading, honoring the treasure of the law, the beauty of the law, how grateful the people of God were, Moses in particular, but the whole people of God were, for the gift of the divine law. It's great to get that perspective because that's not how people think about the law most of the time. And then in the gospel, Jesus says, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill the law. So I don't get the idea that's because I've come with a new covenant that the old covenant is completely obsolete. It's fulfilled. It's completed. Now, this is a good topic to reflect on because part of our natural tendency, and certainly a tendency in modern culture, is to reject law or consider it a necessary burden, a bad thing that we just have to put up with, including law from God. And that's not the right attitude to have, because that makes God someone who is against us, who's burdening us, and who we, if we could get away with it, we would not follow. Well, what do we think God is here? Some kind of a taskmaster, a slave driver, who's making life burdensome for us for his own good? No. The law doesn't benefit God. It's all for us. And God, who loves us as a father, a perfect father, gives us what we need in order to enter into eternal life. That's what the law is all about. Now, the old law was incomplete. It was good, especially the Ten Commandments, very good, wise, but incomplete because the understanding of the commandments could be distorted to think that if you just do this and don't do that, then you make yourself holy. And that's what Jesus had to come and free us from. Our salvation is not all about us doing the right things. Salvation comes from Jesus Christ. Salvation comes as a gift. And it's our cooperation with that gift. It's our acceptance of that gift. It's our response of faith to what is revealed that leads to our salvation. So we're not making ourselves holy. We're letting God make us holy when we submit ourselves to his will, to his law. That's why Jesus, in speaking about the law, says, I didn't come to abolish the law. That would just make things worse for you. You'd have less. No, I come to fulfill the law and the prophets, bring them to their fullest extent, bring them to their real purpose, their real completion. What we can get from this, that this is the passage in the Sermon on the Mount that introduces Jesus' teaching about how the law was understood and how it is to be understood now under the new covenant. Remember the passages, you have heard it said such and such, but I say to you this. You have heard it said about murder, but I say to you, don't be angry. You know all those passages. We've had some of them recently. So this is the introduction to that section. And it's all about bringing about the fullest flowering of the law. What we learn from this passage is that the law, if we understand it properly and really live it properly, makes us great. It makes us great. God wants us to be great. Whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You want to be great? Follow the law of God. Now, in modern times, it's more common to think that it would be great to be free from the law of God and to throw off those chains. Someone gave me a meditation yesterday, sent it in the social media, about how in modern times the idea of being greatest means to be free from the law. And it doesn't take too much reflection to see what really happens when we do not submit ourselves to the law of God. So this ponderer sent these. First commandment, we know, you shall love the Lord your God. But this ponderer says, God is more and more being replaced with power, wealth, fame. In other words, idols are replacing God. And is that benefiting the world? Are we making the world a better place by replacing God with fame, money, power, sports? No. Then honoring the name of God, that has also been almost forgotten. Then keeping holy the Lord's Day. This ponderer says, going to the mall is more popular than going to church. Is that making the world better? Is not following the law about the Lord's Day actually benefiting us? Is it making us greater? No. Fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. This ponderer says, gadgets have replaced communication between parents and children. Sadly true. Isn't it sadly true? Even in the home. So honoring relationships of family, of authority, has breaking that down made us better? No. And then I could read all these. They're all reflections on the commandments and how we're doing it. Meaning doing it wrong. So commandment about do not kill, but we have now abortion, assisted suicide, euthanasia. About commandment against adultery, we have all kinds of distortions of God's plan for marriage, which is ruining family life and society, etc. Okay, so what Jesus says here is, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, if we even make it into the kingdom. So what we're to understand here is that these laws, which can be put in a negative way, don't do this, don't do that, are ultimately for our greatness in the kingdom. I bet if we asked Lola Ines about this, she would say with great enthusiasm, because she understands it now that she's with God, she would say with great enthusiasm, yes, treasure the law, follow the law. Even in the slightest way, even in the most interior part of the heart, follow the law. It bears great fruit, not only in this life, but especially for eternal life. Whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I don't know Ines, but she was a teacher. Perhaps in her teaching, she made clear to her family and to her students the law of God. In any case, the liturgy is teaching us this, and we welcome this instruction. So as we remember the life the journey, the long journey of Inés, we also recall that we are on this pilgrimage ourselves, and God is drawing us to himself, giving us everything we need, the law, the prophets, the scriptures, the sacraments, the saints, the liturgy. He gives us everything we need so that we can enter fully into life with him.